You are Locked On Utes, your daily podcast on the Utah Utes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for making Locked On Utes your first listen every single day. We are available on all platforms, including YouTube. My name is JT Wisterso, former intern inside the University of Utah Athletic Department. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/Locked On today to get started. If this is your first time joining our show, we'd love to interact with you guys in the YouTube comments. You guys can like and subscribe. We're nearly at 1,100 subscribers, so we'd appreciate you guys helping us jump over that mark. On today's show, we're going to talk about some Utah softball stuff as they have their big debut at the Women's College World Series coming up. Also talk about the future of Utah's defense, but let's talk about the present. And in order to help us do that, it's friend of the show, KSL Sports' Michelle Bodkin. And Michelle, when you're talking about this Utah football team and will they have a top defense in 2023, Adam Brenneman, who's a college football analyst, published a ranking that ESPN put out where ESPN ranked their top 10 defenses going into next season. And he had Utah at 8. So he does have Utah inside the top 10. We can dive a little more into where they're at in a second. But I do feel like this defense belongs in the top 10 when you're talking about a defense that returns 8 of their 11 starters. Did they lose their best guy? Yes, and Clark Phillips. But I look at the other guys they have around him. You still have your 2 and 3 corners, JT Broughton, and also when you're going to get in Zamaya Vaughn, who a lot of people think could be the corner in this room. And let's not even talk about some of the depth on this defense too. I think Cole Bishop's outstanding. The flashes that Sione Vaki showed last season. Look, the front seven was a little bit of a weakness at times throughout the season, but Lander Barton is going to be in a sophomore year. I expect him to take a leap. Karene Reed is always solid. What Leovani DeMooney, I think, coming over could mean to this team could be huge. And then when you talk about a defensive line, all the main contributors outside of Gabe Reed are back. And a lot of those guys were young last year. I mean, Connor O'Toole was his first year playing college defensive end. Like, that's just going to take time to kind of grow and develop. And that's not even mentioning some of the recruits this team has. After also what they did last season, being a top defense, where they were able to hold USC's offense in check in the big Pac-12 championship game, where they're able to hold Oregon's offense in check. I know Bo Nix was a little nicked up, but still. So I feel like this defense does belong in the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. To be perfectly honest, under Kyle Whittingham, this defense probably belongs top 10, like, all time.
Yeah.
It just feels like year in, year out, Utah has figured out how to bring new guys in. And again, these aren't always necessarily, you know, the top tier talent. This isn't always, your 4 and 5 star guys. This has been like 2 star guys and 3 star guys that got slept on and were developed into NFL caliber talent. So, I think it's very fair to say that Utah belongs in the top 10 for this year. Just looking at, as you mentioned, the people that are kind of returning, like, yes, obviously, you know, a couple of people are gone from last year. That happens every year. Mm-hmm. But the kind of core of what this Utah defense is, who was on it last year, is returning. And as you mentioned, a year older, I think particularly, you know, some of the issues were up front. And I think that was largely because these guys were still a little bit young, maybe still need to put some weight on, still need to understand how college offensive lines, operate. And now they've seen a few things and they have put the weight on, they have done the work in the weight room and in the film room. And I expect this unit to be very, very solid in 2023.
I do as well. And I think you brought up a couple things. Number one, I like that you mentioned just Kyle Whittingham. And I mean, by extension too, you can even say Morgan Scally, right? Like, just the coaching that is here is just an advantage and a plus. There are some teams that no matter, like Alabama has turnover every year. Now Alabama is, of course, top of this defensive list too. But we just, like you said, Utah doesn't get the level of recruits Alabama does. So it does help that you have that continuity at the coaching staff where you do have some of those guys who leave and come in that transition, that you have the stable leadership, whether you're talking just every level of the defense. I mean, the front, like I said, Coach Swan, the front seven, Coach Shaw, Scally, like, we could just go down the list of how elite each of these coaches are at their position. It really feels like they do get the best out of their guys and they recruit the right guys who are ready to come in and work hard and produce for this team overall. So the coaching is a huge plus. And we've hinted at a little bit now, like, you know, you lose a couple of guys from last year's team, right? Clark Phillips, if you start with him, you're not replacing Clark Phillips, but I tell you what, the guys they've brought in, I feel like it's like the next best thing, right? I mean, you don't have an elite of elite corner like his caliber, but I look at a guy in Miles Battle with a ton of SEC starting experience. I think he could slide in and do some nice things. Then you also get some guys in Smith Snowden and CJ Blocker, who a large reason I think they're at Utah is they hope to have a Clark Phillips type career where they can start for 3 years and then they're going on to the next phase of their life in the NFL. Like that, so that's something that's a plus there. Defensive line wise, Gabe Reed was kind of that veteran presence, but that's what Van Fillinger's back for. Jonah Ellis with another season. Logan Fano is a guy just loaded with potential. I'm excited to see what he can do. Chase Kennedy is another guy I think who's oozing with potential. I think he could have a chance to break out too. You get that really strong interior defensive line, especially a full season hopeful version of what we saw late in the year from Samote Pepa last year. I think that would be really exciting. I've already hinted at Leovani DeMuni. You're talking about an all Pac-12 linebacker, what he could provide, and just the special things we saw from Sione Vaki in those moments in games. I do expect him to perform at a higher level than we saw RJ Barrett kind of show, especially in the final game against Penn State, which might have been his worst game of the season. So I just really like the group too that they brought in, whether it's through the transfer portal or also just some of the recruits they're bringing up that are going to make an immediate impact, Michelle.
Yeah, I think Utah is in a place, and it's partly because of what you mentioned. There's continuity with this coaching staff. The newest member on the defensive side of the ball is, Luther Ellis.
Yes,
you know, sure. He's in year two. Everybody else has been here for multiple years. Mm-hmm. And so I think allows this coaching staff to go in and say, what is our identity on defense? What kind of guys are we looking for? You know, and I think they can kind of conference with each other, and really just kind of come up with the guys that overall fit the scheme and can provide, you know, year in and year out kind of the same defense. And yes, like, you know, it sometimes takes a step back or whatever, when you're replacing talent or when the talent's really young. Utah's kind of rounding the corner into being on the older side of the spectrum mm-hmm. on defense after several years of being kind of on the younger side. But even so, they've still been a top defense, even being young and getting pushed around a little bit more than I think fans mm-hmm. are used to. So, but this transfer portal, I think, is particularly interesting for Utah because it does allow them to address, I think, you know, holes and issues really wherever. But I mean, we are talking about defense. Yeah. And so, you know, last year there were, you know, some spaces where Utah was really, really young. They were really, really young in the linebacker room. They bring in a vet like Mumad Diabate to kind of, I think, mm-hmm. stabilize and bring a more mature presence to a group that overall very talented, but kind of young, maybe hadn't seen enough or a lot. We've mentioned Gabe Reed a couple of times, you know, that defensive line also kind of on the young side last year. Mm-hmm. But that was a guy that came in. He's seen some things. He's a little more aware, can bring some leadership to that group, kind of help show the way, and is just like a fit in plug in kind of guy. Now you have someone like Miles Battle this year, as you mentioned, he's a guy that's seen some action, you know, nothing's going to be terribly surprising or new to him.
Yeah.
And DeMuni is another one that, you know, I just kind of, again, brings maybe a little more maturity to a group that's very talented, still a little bit on the young side, but like I said, kind of rounding the corner at this point. I just don't think there's going to be much that this group hasn't seen. And I expect them to be a lot more dominant week in and week out than maybe they have been the past two seasons.
Yeah, I definitely think they'll get off to a better start than they did, not just because the game is at home against Florida, but just because the guys are more seasoned, to your point, that mix of youth with experience and then the veterans who have been here for a little bit, I think is really going to lead to a lot of success for this defense in the short term and for potentially the long term too, as this list that ESPN put out doesn't just focus on 2023. It also looks at how they think these teams' defenses will perform in 2024 and 2025. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but first, I want to talk to you guys about our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs because right now new customers can get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel is great. They run promotions every day. They're a safe and secure app. You can get paid on your winnings instantly. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. And of course, we got the NBA finals going on right now. I'm going to roll with the Nuggets in five for me personally. Michelle, what are you feeling?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? Just because they're closer to home, I'll roll with the Nuggets. But I think it's kind of fun that in their own ways, two very scrappy, not your typical team, not necessarily your typical all-star teams that I feel like we've been seeing in the NBA finals the last few years. This is kind of some new blood. And like I said, not necessarily your kind of traditional teams. It feels like both sides, it's been a little bit more of a group effort.
Definitely feels that way too. It's going to be fun to see how it all plays out because it has been quite the NBA playoffs just in general. So hopefully we're in for a good finals. And once again, you can visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's Locked On, all caps, and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Michelle, coming back into this one then, as we mentioned, with this list, one of the interesting caveats on there is these rankings cover the top 25 defenses during the next three seasons, 23, 24, and 25, and examine both the current roster and future recruiting, coaching, and consistency, also factor into teams making the cut. That is a quote from the ESPN article that Adam Brenneman is pulling this top 10 ranking from. So I think there's a couple things there. Number one, I just think it's really smart if you are making a list like this to include like Utah in here for the coaching consistency aspect that we discussed. You mentioned, Michelle, there's been almost no turnover on this coaching roster in general over the past few seasons. And even if by the time something happens in 2025, in 2024 ends up being Kyle Whittingham's last season, I still have faith that this defense in 2025 is still going to be a top 10 unit because I expect Morgan Scalley and the other people that have made this defense successful for the past few seasons to be there. So I do think from a continuity standpoint, it makes a lot of sense that you would include Utah there. And also when you look at the depth in general, I mean, looking ahead to 2024, especially, like I think after this season, we'll be considering Lander Barton the best player on this defense. I've said that a few times on this show now. I think this, especially in 2024, like to me, Lander's only going to be a 3-year guy, honestly, because I expect him to go at the top two rounds of the draft. I just think he has that kind of potential, and what he showed in flashes as just a freshman last season at that kind of a physically demanding position, I think is really special. So I do think he's going to be a guy that's going to break out. If you're looking at 24 and 25 too, this recruiting class that Utah brought in, we mentioned some of the corners on the outside too. Once you get especially, I think Logan Fano is going to contribute in 2023 and do some nice things. I think in 2024, he could really pop, and I would expect him to be the best pass rusher on this team. Talk about a guy's last full season of football. Granted, it was high school football, had 20 sacks in general, which is still very impressive, and played against some of the top competition in the state, who are also those tackles he were beating are now scattered throughout the college landscape too. So I really do feel like this Utah defense is not just in a good position in 2023 to have a top 10 defense, but even looking for the next few years because of the level they're recruiting at and the guys they already have here, I think they're going to continue to have a top 10 defense.
I mean, you know, they've kind of been there as we've mentioned, like 20-ish years, and probably honestly, you could even go back to the McBride era. You know, those were just some very top elite defenses. That's kind of what Utah has turned itself into, is a defensive factory. It's had its moments where the offense has also clicked with it. They happen to be in one of those moments right now. But by and large, you know, probably since the early 90s, really, it's been the defense that's carried this team and carried it to a place where, you know, we're talking about it being a P5 team, carried it to a place where we're talking about it being not just a P5 team, but a top P5 team. And you know, I mean, who knows what the future holds. We're talking about potentially a P2 system where everybody kind of melds together. You know, there's conversations that Utah deserves to be included in whatever movement happens, you know, in 5 to 7 years from now. It's just, and it's all because I think Utah picked an area to focus on and get really good at, and then they've built everything else around that. So it makes sense that, you know, moving forward, even if we expect, you know, Kyle Whittingham to retire, and I think that's, you know, it's highly likely, you know, he's kind of coming to the end of his rope, but I think the athletic department's very smart, and I think they realize what they have, you know, that they have coaches that are very invested and want to stick around. And so it's just going to be a matter, I think, of hiring within and trying to keep everything just pretty as much intact as you possibly can. And so, yeah, I think it does make a whole lot of sense that Utah continues to be rated, you know, moving 3-4 years into the future.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like I said, for all those reasons, you mentioned the continuity, all the talent, everything, it definitely feels like they should be, if not in the top 10, right on the cusp of it. But as we both feel, they're going to be in the top 10 because that's what history tells us. And there's no reason to ignore it if it hasn't changed in the past. So the other thing that's interesting about this list is, as we mentioned, we've talked a lot about Utah just being in the top 10, but let's look a little bit more at their placement in general. When you're talking about Utah's at 8 right now, let's look at the other teams that are in there. And once again, this is how it projects going forward. So Georgia, Clemson, Michigan, Alabama, Iowa, Penn State, LSU, and Utah. So to me, with almost none of those teams, do I have a big issue with. I mean, obviously, Georgia's going to be there. Alabama, with the level they recruit at. Michigan is also doing a really good job defensively. Clemson, too. I got no qualms there. Iowa's one people may look at. Iowa's a team is one I think Utah's better than. But if you're talking about defense strictly, look, Iowa's a team that we're just talking about the guys that Utah's put in the first round of the NFL draft. Iowa's consistently done that. All of the jokes and everything we level at Iowa are directed at their offense. There's a reason they lose games in which they only allow like one touchdown or like two field goals. It's because their offense is so poor. It's not because of their defense. So I don't have issues there. And look, Brian, we saw Penn State's defense, right? Like, that is a scary good unit. I don't have an issue with them being above. And LSU, too, is, look, they get gashed a little bit. Maybe that's the one. I would want to look into that a little closer to see. But to me, Utah is in the right spot as kind of that 7-8 range. Would you agree, Michelle?
Yeah. And, I mean, what great company to be in.
Yes.
Like, I mean, a lot of those teams are traditional powerhouses. These are teams that year in, year out, for decades, we always talk about and consider, you know, to be some of the top teams. And now we're talking about Utah kind of fitting in that realm. Clemson's kind of the newcomer to that group. And I think Utah has kind of, over the last couple of years, been making a case for them to be the new newcomer. But it takes consistency, and it takes keeping the, you know, this level up. Can Utah keep this up? Can this be sustainable moving forward for Utah? Defensively, I'm not too worried about that. It's kind of the offense that's, you know, had its ups and then it's gone down and it's taken a while. I think that's where Utah really needs to kind of prove themselves as far as, you know, sustainability goes, but that is some elite, elite company to be in. And again, Utah does it a little bit differently than a lot of those other teams. They're not necessarily raking in the same level of talent that these other teams do. They have to be a little more creative with it at times. And I think that just speaks highly to the coaching staff that's in place, their ability to evaluate talent, and develop whatever talent comes through their door, whether it's a 2-star or whether it's a 4-star.
Yes, so true. And I think one thing's interesting, like we just mentioned, the powerhouses like Georgia and Alabama, anytime it relates to college football and you're in the conversation with those teams is a great thing. And one of the other crazy things is even look at that and be like, man, like this is projects that Utah is going to have a better defense going forward than Ohio State, which I think some people may be taken aback by that. But when you look at like the Buckeyes getting destroyed by the Wolverines at home in that game, look, Stetson Bennett did some nice things. That Georgia offense did some nice things in general, too, but they got gashed by them. And then championship game, the only reason they were in that game was C.J. Stroud's performance, not because what the defense is doing. So I do think that makes a lot of sense and speaks to a really good position this program is in for the present and future, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And just speaking of programs in a really good position, Michelle, the Utah softball team has just been on an incredible run right now. I know you were up at Dumke Family Softball Stadium. What was that atmosphere like as you saw Utah, not just against Ole Miss going back to last week, but then what they were able to do against San Diego State after dropping the first game too?
That atmosphere was electric. I have to tell you, it's really been a lot of fun watching some of these women's teams enjoy big, rowdy, excited crowds. That doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. And yes, I mean, everybody loves a winner and people kind of jump on the bandwagon when they see that something's going down. But hopefully when people jump on the bandwagon, they realize that it's fun. Like, it's a fun product, win or lose.
Yes.
I'm more partial to the outdoor sports. Like, yes, I go to basketball, you know, whatever. But I just, anytime I can spend time outside, I am excited and thrilled with that. And nothing screams summer to me more than hanging out at the ballpark, whether it's softball or baseball, and just spending an afternoon, you know, taking in a game. And so I hope people, you know, enjoyed that. I hope people are eager to buy season tickets and continue that. Because I think, you know, some of these teams are on to something really special. Yes, this has kind of been like the first time that some of them have reached, you know, these heights. Women's basketball, softball has had their moments in the past, but it's been a little while since moving to the Pac-12. But it feels like they're maybe finding their grip and their groove in this conference. So get on board and support the women's teams too, because it's different, but it's a good product as well.
It absolutely is. Like you said, the atmosphere was incredible there, and these teams absolutely deserve it too, to your point too. What the women's basketball team, I mean, everyone's back. So it's not like, to your point, like you said, like, it's not like they're going anywhere. They're going to be able to do the same thing. Utah softball will return a ton of key contributors too. So absolutely hope the fans continue to go out there and support them. But as it pertains to the rest of this season for Utah softball, how do you feel like they're going to fare in the Women's College World Series, and particularly in that first matchup against Washington tonight?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I took a look at the schedule. Utah and Washington are split 2-2. Washington won the series when Utah went up earlier in the season. It was 2-1 in the Huskies' favor. But Utah kind of got their payback sees in the Pac-12 championship. They had to face Washington, and they beat them on their way, you know, to earning their first Pac-12 title. So it's very interesting that they're meeting each other again. I'm not entirely sure what to expect. It feels like these two teams are probably very even. I haven't had a chance to watch Washington, except for that Pac-12 championship game, or not championship game, but Pac-12 tournament game. So I don't know really where they're at as a team. But I mean, Utah's hot. Utah's hot. Utah's feeling themselves. You can see the confidence. I mean, they, you know, they got down against San Diego State at home and they did not panic. So they kind of went back to the drawing board, shook it off, and said, you know what, we didn't play our game. Let's go out and play our game with no hesitation. And it worked out for them. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they do in a different environment, away from home. It's more neutral. I was asked somewhere else, you know, what do you think about, you know, what would be a successful run for women's softball? And for me, it was, you know what, if you make it out of the home games that you got to host, I think that's a phenomenal season for you. Cause I mean, they were picked to finish ninth in the Pac-12 and they turned out to be one of the top teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, to win the conference already made this immensely successful. And then, like you said, to host the Super Regionals and then to go to the Women's College World Series for the first time in 29 years. That's where it's like, that's incredible. Anytime you can do something you haven't done that long, I absolutely agree. Also, I need to apologize. I said originally that the game is Wednesday. It is Thursday. So June 1st, Thursday night, 7:30. Make sure you guys tune in to see how Utah will fare in their fifth meeting of the season against Washington. And Michelle, where should people head over to if they want to read a recap of that game, get a preview, and just also just keep up with Utah athletics?
Yeah, so make sure you check out my work at kslsports.com. Find the Utah Utes tab, click on that. All my work should show up there. And then, of course, you can always follow me on Instagram or Twitter. The handle is the same, at @BodkinKSLSports.
Make sure you guys head over and check out all those links and socials as well. Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Oh, anytime.
That's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Utes, but we'll be back tomorrow talking more Utah recruiting on Locked On Utes.